I encourage you, you ever have the opportunity to go on a claim trip, they are so worth it. You make lifelong friends, by the way. Brother Smith is a joy to work with, and just everyone that goes on those things, it's amazing. I was thinking, Pastor and I don't know how he knows Brother Chemist. I know he's met before, but we went out to a pastor's conference in Saskatchewan, and we were on the same flight coming back, and I talked a lot with Brother Chemist, and what a neat guy he is, and just building these, did I say something funny? Oh, okay, just building these relationships and these friendships, they last forever, and it's worth it, and I'm happy to hear God working in those mission fields. All right, let's sing another song, hymn number 11. It'll be on the screen. Oh, worship the King. All glorious above. On the first verse.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy He's face, His chariots of wrath and deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It frees in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain.
Last verse.
Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Let me just take a moment or two to prepare our hearts for preaching tonight, and perhaps the Lord has laid a burden on your heart, and you just want to bring it before the Lord. Take an opportunity to do that and pray that God speaks to us tonight through His Word for just a few moments, His calling, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your word tonight, and in these next few moments, we ask that You would encourage our hearts, instruct our hearts, and teach us from Thy word. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you open your Bibles tonight to Psalms chapter 92. I was thinking earlier, Pastor, this is probably the last time I will attend a church service this year. I just probably won't do it again until next year, just after tonight, so I don't know how you all feel about that, but by the way, that being said, of course I'm joking because Sunday is the new year. Well, I'm not joking. It really is. But Sunday is the new year. And I can't believe how fast 2022 has zoomed by. But in celebration of that, now we're not doing anything New Year's Eve as a church, but on Friday night at 6 o'clock, we are going to get together for finger foods and games and fellowship. And if you would like to attend, there's no need to let us know. Just show up and bring some finger foods for everyone to enjoy. And I think we'll have a good time. If you have a game that you like a lot, you can bring that as well. But just to spend some time together starting at 6 o'clock, and we'll go till we just get tired or you want to leave. So there's no kind of 7:30, kind of a come-and-go thing if you'd like. But we just want to host something to have a good time together. So that's Friday night at 6 o'clock. Well, yesterday we went to the Courts of Rushdale, which is a retirement center here in Hamilton. And it's a nice place, and it's where Marguerite Toms is. Chuck and Marguerite were part of our church for many years, and he, of course, passed away not long ago. But he always hosted a church service there. He did so on Sunday mornings, and then he would also do so during the month. So we tried to keep that up. He invited us to come, and we've been going there for probably over a year for sure, and just really enjoy the group of people there. So we went yesterday, and there was a good crew there, and then we also brought a good crew. Our family, Mom and Dad Heard were there, Pastor was there, but it was a good time, and we sang a lot of songs, and Pastor gave us a challenge from Scripture regarding aged people involved in the Christmas story. So you have Zacharias and Elizabeth, who, of course, were the parents of John the Baptist, and he was the forerunner of Christ. And we talk a little bit about Simeon and Anna, but the theme for that yesterday was age and getting older. And in fact, it's pointed out in Scripture that Elizabeth and Zacharias were well stricken in years. And what Pastor didn't know at the time of that was that I was preparing also a Bible study for tonight on the same topic. Now, it won't be in the same passage of Scripture, but I believe some of the same applications will be made. So if you were there yesterday, maybe you can see some of the same application. But aging is something that we all do, isn't it? If you're here tonight and you're breathing, you are currently aging. And so in Psalms chapter 92, this is a psalm of praising the Lord for his loving kindness, for his faithfulness, and for his work. So in the first 11 verses, and we'll read it here shortly, that summarizes basically God's greatness over his enemies and the impact that had on the psalmist. And then in verses 12 through 15, the results of being a righteous man or doing things God's way, not man's, is what we will see there. So let's look at Psalms chapter 92, and we'll just read through this and to keep those things in mind as we do. Psalm 92 and verse 1 says, "It is good, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is none unrighteousness in there's no unrighteousness in him." So did you catch that old age phrase there towards the end of the chapter? We saw that there in verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So I want us to look at a few different things. If you're taking notes, you can write down some of these points if you want. But I think it's important that we understand that we are all aging and we can do so in a way that pleases the Lord. So age in a pleasing way. One author makes this comment: numerous possibilities, few inevitabilities, that's life. Okay, but he says, the sky's the limit, but in that journey, there are few inescapable results. Growing older is one of them, right? I mean, we've talked about this. Growing older is one of them. Aging not only happens, but perhaps you can agree with me when I say it happens fast. And some of you may be looking at me and say, oh, what's he know? He's 42 years old. Wait till you get older. It just goes faster and faster. But I say the same thing. You know, those that are 20 years old, I'm thinking, wow, I was 20 not that long ago. You know, I still see myself in that age group. It's funny when I realize I'm not there anymore. You know, I'm older than that. And so we have various degrees of age represented tonight. Job, in responding to one of his friends regarding his trials, said this in Job chapter 7 in verse 16. He says, I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Solomon wrote these words about this subject, Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. You notice that when you get older too, don't you? Wow, they got so much energy. Wow, they're so strong. How do they do that? But it goes on to say, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. So we're really talking about getting older, Pastor Tricky. Is that right? Yes. How many are here this evening and you're at least 1 year older than you were last year at this time? By show of hands. Yeah. Wow. Wow, that is everybody. Everybody here is a year older. By God's grace, you will be yet even older next year. If the Lord tarries his coming, if he continues and chooses to give you life, we will all be older. Some people are there now, and some are working at it. So here's some questions that if perhaps you would consider yourself in the aged group. And I'm not going to give you the number. Just whatever you want to say, whatever you want to think, that's where we're going to be. But some people are already there, and let's ask some questions. What is, maybe you know this verse, Psalm chapter 37 in verse 25. Where the psalmist says, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I do like that verse, don't you? The reality of the curse of sin is that we are going to get older. Eat of the tree, ye will surely die, Genesis chapter 2. But we need to ask some important questions. How are you handling the aging process? Now, I don't mean your body. How's your body handling the aging process? I mean, how are you handling getting older? You know, so is God being glorified by your example? There are some ideas or certain things that are associated with getting old that we would all probably, in fact, we'll talk about it in just a minute, and I'll give you a chance to answer, so feel free to speak up in just a moment. But there are these things that we associate with getting old, and I want us to consider differently. Let's consider what God says. Are we being a good example at getting older? Can people make the same decisions that you are making in your life as you're getting older and be pleasing to God and be an asset to the church and bring souls to Christ? Are you going to give a good account at the judgment seat of Christ based on what you're doing for the cause of Christ? This applies to the young just as much as it does the old. As I said, time flies fast. We are all getting older. So this topic is important for older people and younger people. This is part of the equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. How are we to respond to getting older, to aging? Aging has to do with time, and the clock is always ticking, always going forward, constantly moving ahead. The Word of God makes several references to this issue of time and it being limited. I preached through the book of James before we started in John, and James chapter 4 in verse 13 and 14 talks about, well, I think I have it on the screen there for you, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what may be on, what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, little time, and then vanisheth away. Isn't that crazy to think about when you consider how perhaps you've made plans. You had big plans. Maybe 20 years ago, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And all of a sudden, here you are this far later, and it's not what you imagined it would be. Not that you're unsuccessful, but you knew what it meant to have plans and to aspire to something, which is not a bad thing. But then to realize, wow, that time frame to do that is no longer here. It's just, that was when I was younger. We had these aspirations. And you would say something like, well, tomorrow we'll go and we'll buy and sell and do business. But you don't know what tomorrow may bring. What we do know is that we are to take heed to today. We do know that our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. John chapter 9 and verse 4, the scripture says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. From the moment of conception, the aging process begins. I said what I said. From the moment of conception, the aging process begins, and it continues until the Lord tarries his coming, as long as the Lord tarries his coming, or until you draw your last breath. You can't stop it. You can only respond to it. Boy, the world tries to stop it, don't they? They try to stop it in every which way you could possibly think. You know, that's why writing a book about the fountain of youth or medical aesthetics and Botox and all these things that people are trying to do to stop the aging process, to look younger. I mean, this is $1 billion industry to try and stay young. And hey, I'm not against all those things. I think I would like to stay young and maybe prevent wrinkles. That's nice to do that. But I'm just saying that's what the world tries to do. They're trying to stop the aging process, but you cannot do it. You can only respond to it. How does man typically view the aging process? So this is where you can come in. Let's look at the human perspective to the aging process. What words would you use to describe the way most people respond to getting older? Now, you will not be judged by your answer as if it's your opinion. I said most people. What words would you use to describe the way most people respond to getting older? Anybody? Aches and pains. Man, my kids, you know, they make fun of me because of the noise I make getting up. I'll tell you this quick story. David wanted coffee the other day. He's like, Dad, can I have some coffee? He just really wants coffee. I think it's because I drink it, not because he likes it. So he gets this. I said, okay, you can have just a little bit. So he fills his mug up, and then he holds his back, and he walks over to the chair. And then he goes, oh, and sits down. And this whole time, you know, he's just mimicking what I do. And, of course, it's funny at the time, but I'm thinking, man, do I make that much noise when I sit down? Aches and pains. It's words we use to describe getting older. What else? Frustration, yeah. Can't do things we used to do, see as good as we used to see. Yeah, I have reading glasses up there. Harvey?
Loss of balance.
Loss of balance, definitely. Yeah, what else? Human perspective on aging. What?
Wrinkles.
Okay, that's the result of aging, yep. Forgetful, yep. The idea of aging, and I've seen this in perhaps you as well, and I hope that you've not fall victim to it, but this is the reality. A lot of times as we age, we reach a point where we feel useless for important things. What do you mean? Well, you would say, I don't have anything to contribute anymore. I'm just not that young, or I'm too old to do that anymore. And while that may be true in some areas of life, it is not true in every area of life. There are things you may not be able to do like you did when you were younger, but you are not completely useless for God as you age. You are not. We have clear responsibility given in Scripture. So uselessness is one thing that people feel. Guilt is often something that is a human perspective in aging. I just made so many mistakes. We may think things like, well, if I had it to do over again, I'd really change blank, you know, and you can fill in the blank there. We feel perhaps some guilt as we get older. And there's nothing wrong with learning from our mistakes and nothing wrong with learning from sinful choices. But it is wrong when we believe that we're useless and we allow guilt to keep us from doing anything for God. Shouldn't be that way. There's the self-pity, the woe is me syndrome. Nobody cares, so why should I? I might as well just go ahead and die. Self-pity spans the extremes of blame and bitterness. And you see it a lot of times when people are forgotten and they're, because, you know, they're out of sight often and out of mind and not spending as much time with family, and the family sort of loses track and doesn't check in. If you still have a living grandparent or parents that are elderly, I am learning more and more how important it is to connect with them and call them and stay in touch, because they often will feel forgotten and they'll feel like they have no purpose, and they begin to develop the woe is me syndrome. Elijah felt that way. Remember Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19? He's running from Jezebel. He's being threatened with his life is being threatened, and he essentially says, "It is enough now. Oh Lord, take away my life. Just let me die." He just felt sorry for himself. This last one, though, is probably most common when it comes to the human perspective on aging, and that is fear. Fear. Say, well, what kind of fear? Well, fear of the economic situation. You know, not being able to take care of ourselves, or losing health, or the deterioration of our minds, and things that have been mentioned, forgetfulness. How about loss of a spouse or children as you get older? Humanly speaking, aging is bad. And you know that's what the world paints, right? Aging is bad. You don't want to grow old. You want to stay young. You want to be energetic and vibrant. But the world essentially says aging is bad, and you want to avoid it as much as possible. An interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 31 regarding the virtuous woman, in verse 25, the Bible says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." Now, that's a different perspective, isn't it? That doesn't indicate the attitude that we've been talking about, but it's because the virtuous woman is viewing life from another perspective, one of serving and one of being useful for the Lord. So that's the human perspective of aging. Let's look at God's perspective on life in the aging process. We need to remember, first of all, that God is ageless. God is timeless. Time is of no relevance to God. He's eternal. He's always existed, and he always will exist. And that's hard for our finite minds to grip, but that's the truth. God is ageless. Time, as we know it, began at creation in Genesis chapter 1. And so when we look at Psalm chapter 90, in verse, turn back a couple pages. You're probably still in Psalm 92. Turn back a page to Psalm chapter 90, and let me just show you a couple of verses. We'll look through this chapter for a moment. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 1 says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Now, we have a hard time comprehending that because we don't fully understand the eternal. But God clearly communicates about the brevity and pain of life. Let's keep reading. Well, verse 3, notice the different word pictures that describe this. "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men." Verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So what do we base on all this? If you think about this, God's answer to the aging process is really a gracious one. Verse 12 of Psalm chapter 90. "Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, I've heard that verse my whole life, and I've never, I have before, but really consider what that's saying. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's a lot more there when you consider We often number our years, right? How old are you? I'm 40 or I'm this. But the scripture is telling us here, teach us to number our days, not our years, but rather take life one day at a time. Each day is a gift from God. And since every day is a gift from God, we can live it enthusiastically for Him. Another way to say that is this: live every day of your life for the glory of God. Teach us to number our days. You know, we should be very careful not to waste time. That's easy to do. It's easy to waste time, but each minute you have is a gift from God and should be used for Him. There's a good Old Testament example of someone who had a good grip on this area, and we find his story in Joshua chapter 4. I think I preached a little bit on Caleb and his age in Joshua 14, but it's probably been a couple years. But I want you to turn to Joshua 14, and we'll kind of close out with this example of Caleb, who had a good grip on getting old and was used of God even when he was much older. Joshua chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 6 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. And verse 7, verse 7 says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." You know the story. "But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and as he said, these 45 years. So how old is Caleb now? 85 years old. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in." How'd you like to be able to say that at 85? My strength is the same as it was when I was 40. Verse 12. "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. 45 years old, Caleb served as a spy in the land of Canaan, living by faith. You know, the thing about Caleb and Joshua, they saw the same thing that those other spies saw. They saw the big guys. They saw the threatening. They saw all of those things, but they viewed it differently. They viewed the situation through eyes of faith that God could and would deliver them. And because of that, God blessed both of those men. He and Joshua were the only two men of the 12 that had faith that God would do what he said he would do and give them the promised land. And that attitude continued through their life. It continued all through it. At 85 years old, Caleb sought to conquer the land, still living by faith. "Now, therefore," he said in verse 12, "give me this mountain." I want that mountain. We sing that song, "I want that mountain." Caleb's life reveals a couple of truths to us about aging. Number one, it's possible for life's greatest achievement to occur in old age. It's possible. You don't know what God has in store for you. I have heard testimony from people who were saved in their late 50s, 60s, even 70s, and God does amazing things with them through their obedience to live by faith. And number two, we learn from Caleb that there's no retirement from the Christian life. You don't retire from the Christian life. You say, "Well, I'm retired from work." That's okay. You're not retired from being a Christian, though. You're not retired from doing Christian things and laboring for the Lord. You keep living by faith every day. I don't like the implication that retirement means that you've earned the right to be useless. I tell you what, some of the greatest blessings in my ministry have been retired people who love the Lord and who serve faithfully and help and offer wisdom and guidance. These are wonderful things that God has for us as we age. So how do we strengthen our grip on aging? How do we view it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? And by the way, I approach this topic tonight because of where we're falling on the calendar. I mean, all of us got a year older this year, unless your birthday is in the next few days, and it's about to happen. We've all gotten older, and we tend to think about beginnings and endings at this time of year. And so it's important for us to get a grip on this aging thing. So how do we do that? Well, we should think of life as a challenge and not a threat. Think of life as a challenge and not a threat. The world views aging as a threat. But if you consider, what are some of the words used to describe our Christian life in Scripture? Think about it. You know, we have a race. We have a fight. We are in a battle. We are wrestling, course. It's a course that we're on. So these are all words that Scripture uses, a journey. What are some of God's promises that you can claim during this challenge of life? What are promises we claim? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We may have less people around us as we get older. Our children have moved out or have gone a different way. But maybe we don't have the same presence of people. But God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us his grace. He has promised us his wisdom. He has promised us his strength. We should view every stage of life as an opportunity, as a challenge. And by the way, it is. Every stage of life we can view through the idea of stewardship. You know, what do you steward as a Christian? Stewardship is God-given responsibility with accountability. That's what stewardship is. God-given responsibility with accountability. So how would you fill in this blank? Every stage of life is stewardship of time. Every stage of life is stewardship of gifts, abilities. Every stage of life is stewardship of resources, of health, of opportunity, of money, you name it. Every stage of life has an opportunity to steward what God has given us for his honor and for his glory. And we should follow the Lord wholeheartedly at every stage, one day at a time. It's not a threat. It is a challenge. It is a journey. Caleb was a good example of this as well. Verse 14 of Joshua 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite, unto this day because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. David would later give this admonition to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And this verse is a good sermon verse, both of these. It's 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. On the screen, I believe it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." I love that. I love that phrase. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. He will be found of thee. That's no matter how old you are. Paul writes these words to the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men until you are 65. Is that what your Bible says? No. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." You know what? We can also trust the Lord to do his part while you are doing yours. Psalm 71, verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Isaiah 46, 4 says, "And even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." So how does your view of aging need to change based on God's perspective? You know, we ought to be, as Christians, we ought to be careful that we don't join up with the world and how they view aging. It's fun to kind of tease and joke about getting older and the aches and pains that accompany that. But never think for a second that you don't have something to offer to God. Amen. Because you do. He has given you a breath for a reason. And I still remember a dear, sweet lady that she had severe, severe rheumatoid arthritis. Her name was Jimmy Chambers, and I've shared this illustration before. The woman couldn't stand up. Her feet were just all curved out. Her hands were, she just was in pain constantly, and she could do nothing for herself. But she was a prayer warrior. And she would always contact my aunt Brenda, who is still a pastor's wife at the church there in Oklahoma, at Ponca City, Oklahoma. And she would contact her and get the prayer list all the time. And they would pray. And she was a prayer warrior. And I know when she got to heaven that she was rewarded for her faithfulness. And she was elderly and she couldn't do a thing for herself, but she prayed. And folks, prayer is important. And if that's the only thing you can do, and that's an extenuating circumstance. Most of us can do more than that. But never are you useless for God while you still have breath. Let's not forget it. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for what you have encouraged us with in your word regarding aging. As we're all getting older, Lord, I pray you'd help us to battle the thoughts and ideas of the world and how we just become useless and forgotten as we get older. It's simply not true. Help us to age with grace, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.